Thanks very much.
From Sunset this morning. We're looking forward to hearing how things go tonight. You know, with this event tonight, what we did was just to say we'll help anywhere you need us to, hoping there wouldn't be too many places where we would need help. So it's turned out to be that we're rather more deeply involved than we expected to be. So, but of course, we want to try and keep the lowest profile we can, because we've got no interest in taking over or controlling anything. We want to contribute where we can, and inevitably, because of the way others behave, people are always a little bit suspicious, so we try and cope with that. Now, the context of Donna's talk this morning is that this is part of the focus we've had for this year of actually aiming to see how far we can get with moving base things values from the projects we do, from the large scale things we do, onto our personal front lines. So we're looking at things like, for instance, the kindness card, like connections, like the things we do in caring for people. And this morning, Donna is going to be talking about Open Blue. Okay. Now, Donna has worked with Open Blue over the years and is in a good position to comment on it. We definitely didn't want Andy to do the Open Blue session. And in fact, he's going to do the session on the prayer table coming up in a few weeks' time, because we think that's an area where we can transfer things to our front lines. And we didn't want David to do connections either, so somebody else is going to be doing that to give us a little bit of a perspective. So here's the takeaway today. What you are looking for is, how can I live out the values that are behind Open Blue on my front line? And Donna's been exploring that. Whenever Donna speaks, it's great because of the thought she puts in it and the slightly different angle from which she comes. So we're looking forward to hearing from Donna this morning. Let's have prayer for her and for us. Father, we thank you for the different gifts you've placed in the body, one of whom is Donna, and he brings particular insights and perspectives. Father, we pray this morning that she will have freedom to speak, and that she'll find herself saying things that are slightly unexpected for her and push the envelope a bit. And Lord, we pray too that we will be able to receive what you have for us, and that it will have the effect of helping us to see more clearly what you are doing and to join in with it. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks. So, thinking about Open Blue and how to apply it to our front lines, and I realise that as someone who's been at some of the different Open Blue groups, I am very much, you know, I turn up on a Thursday at the Halavington drop-in and help out with the toddler group there. Me and Lisa go, and it's great. And it is a bit like you're turning up to do some work for God, sort of serving, and then go back to normal life. Well, that's not really how it should be. It should really be a case of thinking about my front line. That's the place where I meet people who don't know Jesus. So yeah, that's when I'm doing the Open Blue stuff. Some of the guys there won't know Jesus, but it's also like my day-to-day workplace or stuff I do with the kids. There's lots of people there who don't know Jesus. So that's my front line, rather than thinking about when I'm serving at Open Blue, that's the only time I'll sort of try and talk about Jesus. It's trying and thinking, how can I do that throughout all of my life, you know, on my front line? So hopefully you can have a sort of think while I'm going through this, have a think about what your front line is, where that is, and link that in. I think it's something about seeing the people on your front line a bit like Jesus might see them. Sounds a bit poncy, but you know, it's kind of trying to think, how would Jesus have this, you know, if I think about my office, you know, in the workplace, how would Jesus have me do this work kind of in a way that is good, that kind of thing. Kind of bringing truth into your work, bringing grace in, somehow praying as you're doing it and being aware of God's Spirit, and somehow knowing that all the things you do, even if they're really simple things, it's the way you do them, that's going to help bring fruit and bring something for God's glory. So, yeah, there's a lot going on. But today we're going to be hearing some stories about Open Blue, how things have happened over the years, and also a bit of an update on the groups that are happening at the moment. And hopefully that'll help sort of link in with our own front lines. So, I looked back through the archives, through the Murray archives, to find some photos that we'd taken a long, long time ago when the bus got kind of commissioned and came along to Sheldon School. Yeah, long, long time ago. But sadly, that bus is no more. But that doesn't mean that Open Blue is no more. And that's the kind of thing I've been thinking about, is thinking Open Blue obviously set up to serve isolated communities in Wiltshire, to deliver opportunity to those kind of villages or hamlets or the army and RAF kind of bases where they don't have the village hall, they don't have the kind of active support that some village life or the towns in Wiltshire, you know, there's a lot of support and help for people, but some bits of Wiltshire are really hard and their people are isolated and set apart. So Open Blue has all been about the bus, and of course we're now in this in-between time when we're fundraising for the new bus. We do believe that Wiltshire needs this mobile community centre, but yeah, it's this weird in-between time. So looking back at that shiny, shiny new bus before it hit all the trees out on the roads of Wiltshire, and yes, before the before any of the drivers had pranged it against any I don't know, low lampposts or whatever stories they might want to share. that's kind of where it started out. But we're going to hear in a minute from Andy Weeds sort of saying, even before the bus, it started out with the vision and the idea of it, and inspiration. Sounds really grand, doesn't it? It's inspiration from God as well to do it. Can you see the number on the bus route? It's bus route 58. And for a long time, Andy had it sort of turned to 58. It's a really old-fashioned bus, that one, isn't it? It actually had like the cog bit in it, the sort of, you know, the winding gear in it. And so, of course, some of the kids at some point wound it a little bit too fast to change the route number and broke it eventually. But originally, it was at 58 because of Isaiah 58. Yeah, you know it. That's good. So, with that, it's in Isaiah talking about how people of Israel haven't really got it right in terms of worshipping God. They weren't maybe doing stuff right. But the prophet Isaiah then says, well, I tell you what it really means to worship the Lord. Remove the chains of prisoners who are chained unjustly. Free those who are abused. Share your food with everyone who is hungry. Share your home with the poor and homeless. Give clothes away to those in need. And don't turn away your relatives. Then your light will shine like the dawning sun. And there's obviously lots more that Isaiah said as well, but it's just grabbing some of that. It's became an inspiration to help the guys who were at Dayspring at the time realise that there's a lot of work to be done. There's people to help. And as you're helping, that is bringing them to know about God. Even if you don't even speak about God or talk about Jesus or offer to pray or any kind of religious-y stuff, just the sharing the food, the setting up a group, taking the time to listen, all those good things are bringing God to people as well. And also, for Dayspring, there's a sort of special bit in there as well about the dawning sun and the Dayspring, because that's like the old-fashioned word for dawn is Dayspring, and so there's something there as well about that's what we're to do, and that's what we're for. Is somehow there's, you know, the new day dawning, God's light, good stuff. Yeah, can get a bit fluffy there, but there is something about that Isaiah 58 call to be doing that is really, really important. And I've got a bit from Andy to explain some more on that. So, let's load up this one. He's away on holiday at the moment, not avoiding being part of this talk, just away on holiday. But I caught up with him last week. And I've taken some kind of clips, video clips. So let's hear what he says. And I asked him, tell me about Isaiah 58. What was all that about with Open Blue? Oh, can you help me, Dave?
Yeah.
I think it's a simpler level.
I can see what the scripture said about true fasting.
Yeah, that's it.
And actually, it was to look after the poor, and stretch out a hand, and, you know, comfort those who are bereaved or whatever, you know, and lonely, and that sort of thing. So to actually do something was the thing. So Isaiah 58 really is like a springboard, I think. It sort of was partway on the journey, and then we had to sort of bounce, and it bounced us into something else that perhaps we weren't expecting, but we gladly received, I think.
What did it bounce in?
Well, I think it became, it certainly became, it bounced us into a number of different things, I suppose. So Philippa particularly tried out some things. I know that Dave Sambo was talking about the other week, you know, where she went and gave light bulbs away and stuff like that, so, and started to just sort of try to serve people. And then it bounced us into doing the bus and doing Woodlands Road and serving people in Woodlands Road, and then we had the bus, and actually serving people in isolated communities and trying to go where other people weren't going, and serve people who weren't being served, really. So that was, you know, the reason for doing the bus, really, in a way, because we were getting out into places where people were forgotten, hidden, you know, people didn't, it wasn't really on their radar, and that continues to be the case, I think.
Okay, so it was about finding those people, and then once you set up some of the Open Blue clubs or activities, how did you do them in a way that reflected some of the Isaiah 58?
I suppose, well, there were some basic things. People wanted us to, like for after school club, for instance, well, for all our activities, people suggested that we should charge people to come on board. Now, there's a good reason for doing that, in that it creates a sense of, I really want to be here, I want to be here so much, I'm prepared to pay for it. And so it'd be a nominal charge, you know, that sort of thing. But there's also some other research that we did with a friend of ours who was working in Shorestaff at the time, that discovered if you started actually even putting a quid onto the charge of something, then just the people we were really trying to reach just didn't come, because they were struggling to even get a quid together, you know. And we found that all the way through, even, you know, to 2 or 3 years ago in the One Pot Cookery course, actually getting people to pay a couple of quid a week to do the cookery course, it was a real struggle for some. They just couldn't, they wanted to do it, and they said they would, but they couldn't do £2 a week. Some of them would pay £10 in advance, and some of them would say, well, I can't do that, but I'll do £2 a week. But then some weeks they wouldn't bring the £2, they'd bring it four or something a week later. But you could see they were struggling with that amount of money. So what we did was, we just said, no, we're not going to charge for Open Blue stuff, everything's free. And therefore, there was no barrier. There was no financial barrier to it, it was completely open. Now, over the years, I do think that there is a barrier, but at the other end. Now, because some people who are fairly well off will say to themselves, well, it's not for me because you don't have to pay for it, therefore it can't be that good. And of course that then brings us into another thing, which is that we really tried to do things excellently, you know, so that we weren't trying to just do something half-hearted or half-baked, but the whole conversion of the bus, you know, we put everything into it to make it as good as it could be, and even based on we've been doing research for the new bus, and the company that's one of the companies that we looked at, they looked at our bus and said it was, you know, really, really, really very good, even after all these years, you know, when we think it's tired and so I think that was another element of doing things very well for people who really don't have very much, or just...
Oh, sorry, I'll end it there. Yeah, so there's so much that's gone on there, but it's really good to hear there how it's about finding the poor, which sounds a bit odd, but it's in Wiltshire, it's really about there are isolated communities, but the way that Open Blue operated was being ready to go where you're welcomed, a bit like in Luke, where Jesus sends out the disciples and saying, you know, stay where you're welcomed, stay. If you're not welcomed, move on, that's okay. And that's how Open Blues works, is finding the people of peace, people who would welcome us to stay. And, of course, for some communities, that was years and years and years. And it was those kind of areas of making sure things were free, like open to all, everybody's welcome on the bus, which meant that we were welcomed back, like, year after year, to be part of communities and be a community centre, kind of for the afternoon, really. So you've got toddler groups happening, you've got all age things happening, you've got the older kids after school, and also the older residents and parents are welcome to come on board as well. So it's what should be happening in any community, but of course it doesn't always, and so that's what Open Blue's been able to do. And I think from Andy's point of view, it's about building community and being really in it for the long term as well. So jumping in and talking to someone about how much God loves them is fine and appropriate if you've got a relationship there, and often that might be over years and years and years. So some of the groups starting up Alpha courses running, that did happen, but it didn't happen straight away, and it was only with the community's permission, in a way, sort of asking them if they would be okay with that and things. So it's kind of long-term, sort of slow-working. And also the thing Andy was making a point about, really excellent quality as well, the kind of groups that you'd love to go to and you'd love to pay for, but if you haven't got the £5 or £8 a session or however much these groups can be, like I'm thinking of all the really nice yummy mummy groups at Scrap Store and stuff, which are, you know, really expensive to go to go and come home with some wonderful junk that Lisa's made, but not everyone can afford that. So that's where Open Blue's being really good, to provide that for everybody and not worry about money getting in the way. And also it's being the place where we're happy to work with other people, so like providing services, things like the health visitors drop in, and things like the dentist coming on board, or the library service sort of been involved as well. So it's over to you to have a chat with whoever you're next to find out, on your front line, can you bring some of those ideas in? I guess as a starting point, is there any, this sounds a bit personal question, but is there anyone on your front line who you think is isolated? As in, like, they could be, obviously you're probably not in a middle of Wiltshire kind of place on your front line, but there could be somebody who's physically isolated, like no one talks to them, or like kind of mentally they're stepping back and they're putting themselves in an isolated position. And so then I wondered, again, you don't have to share these things, but it's if somebody or a people group in your front line is isolated, would some of the Open Blue ways of working be of help? So over to you. So I think those kind of stories you shared might be, I said personal, I don't know about personal, it's more like you might be like judging people, thinking, oh, they're isolated, I'll help them. But is there any that you might want to share that are going to be useful for all of us? Do you think there's some thoughts that you've had of how you could apply Open Blue type values to your front lines? Yes, Julie.
Well, a friend of mine's a Catholic, and she lives up in Banbury, and she's she organised a big lunch in her road, which anyone can do as a way of trying to bring the community together. And she said it was quite a lot of hard work, but she said it was brilliant because it's just started so many friendships in that road and just got people talking, and it's got her. It's been a catalyst for loads of relationships.
So community building, so by having a lunch, yeah.
And you can go on the website and you can organise a big lunch. So I was thinking of doing it in my road.
Oh, so is that the National Big Lunch thing yeah. as well. So not is that a secular? Is it a churchy thing or a?
I don't know whether it was inspired. I don't know actually.
Okay,
I think it's got church origin.
So yeah, so there's a big lunch June the.
There's a website.
June the something. So people, you're inviting people in your road, but yeah. people across the country are doing it at the same time. Oh, okay.
And it's yeah. a good way of getting people to get together.
Yeah, getting
start
people together so they can start friendships. Okay. Were there any others?
Anyway, don't we?
I don't think men do it very much.
We do it, but it's not Royston.
So Linda's saying, well, she doesn't need a big lunch because, you know. Their community on their street know each other already. You already know your neighbours, don't you?
We asked new people who we don't seem to have any contact with, the Lorrainians. We just said they're difficult to reach. You reach out to them and they just sort of ignore you.
Okay, but maybe it's there's the long term, over years, you know, you can still.
Something you've got to keep hammering out.
Well, I always say good morning to them when I see them, personally.
Yeah.
So we
So saying good morning is maintaining that relationship, yeah. Andy, what was your thought?
I was just saying, well, maybe it's just a reflection on myself, actually, but I don't get out much. but I think maybe, you know, men generally just don't get out too much unless they've got something... they're really involved with, like, sport or so I certainly sort of said to someone in the village, I wanted to go out with him on a sort of a monthly basis to go up the pub just to talk things through with him one evening. We've done it once, so, you know.
Okay, so, months, so monthly get-together... Once so far, once but you know, but yeah, you've got the idea though. That's
but,
good.
You know, maybe that's something it's a complete no agenda thing. It's
yeah.
whatever you want to talk about, really. But maybe people just don't have people just say, "Let's go to the person." Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Neighbours or to a particular person you know who may. Appreciate.
Yeah, that is a good idea. It's looking out for people who would appreciate an invite, even if it only happened once a month so far. It might happen again. Yeah. Good luck with that. Yeah. Oh dear. But just coming back to some current Sue.
The thing I found about being persistently patient.
You persistently had your hand up there. Persistently patient.
I've got a friend who is isolated because she has a son with multiple special needs, and sometimes we arrange to get coffee and he's off ill or something and stuff just gets in the way. And I've gone through various degrees of frustration and hassle and she just cancelled again and she's just cancelled again.
Oh, so it's like it's a friend, and you think, is she being friendly? But actually, it's understanding her circumstances.
Yeah. And the fact that she is isolated because she has to cut her child off to lots of appointments, and as soon as the minute he's any a little bit ill, it's really quite serious for him.
Yeah.
And that's been quite hard.
Yeah.
Really hard. Because you set your whole day up, or you set your whole week up around meeting
up
coffee, and then it doesn't
happen. Yeah. That's okay. Well, with Open Blue, it's kind of. Hopefully this one will click on the slides to remind us it's about Wiltshire. It's the way that Dayspring has operated for Wiltshire, sort of, you know, as in like the rest of Wiltshire might have seen the bus travelling about the roads and setting up week on week at different communities. I guess mainly the communities we've been at regularly were North Wiltshire, and it's changed over the time, hasn't it, as the RAF base kind of closed, so did the funding stream for running the after-school club there, so that's gone. But there is still funding from the Army, from the MOD at Buckley Barracks, so the after-school club there still happens. And Andy and Chiquita just haven't given up on the Travellers site, so they still meet up week after week there. Also, back in the foyer, there's a leaflet that has got loads of information about the first 12 years. So I just put up on the slide the front of that leaflet. Mm-hmm. And the Lord has helped us all the way. There's just so much that's happened over that time. Some of it's just Some of it is amazing, wow, amazing miracles. But no, a lot of it is the day-to-day, just serving, supporting kids in after-school clubs so they've got a place to go and do fun craft and cooking. And, yeah, there's a lot in that leaflet, so that's a good one to look at if you want more, or talk to Andy Weeds as well. And then, with a bit more detail about the Thingley slide, I grabbed off Andy's Twitter feed a picture of the after-school club traveller style, as in, at the moment, there isn't a bus to take there, which is heartbreaking, but they are going still in term time, sort of, on the weeks when it's not raining, then Andy and Chiquita rock up and once a week, and Chiquita brings craft and all the stuff that, because at the moment Chiquita's out doing the kids club, so I caught up with her in the week to understand what she does, and the kids there are appreciating having a chance to get out the paints and make things. It's really interesting, she says that at the end the kids will just leave all the pictures for her, whereas in your sort of standard after school club, the kind of ones I'm remembering at Laycock, is the kids would proudly take it home to mum. But it's kind of just different way of doing things with the travellers community. They're kind of the things that Chiquita will have noticed are kind of through the eyes of a teacher, and so she's noticing that they very much don't maybe trust or just avoid the preschool kind of things in town, in the area, which kind of means that those youngsters are maybe missing out on, you know, going to the playgroup and things. Although they could go to playgroups and things, they don't. But of course the kids do go to schools, they must go to schools, so taxis arrive and they go to school at age 5. But then often at age 11, the girls will then drop out of the school because there's a kind of culture with the travellers to kind of keep the girls away from mainstream society. And they're a very traditional kind of way of life. Chiquita described it a bit as going back 50 years kind of thing in some ways. You know, there would be very traditional roles. The women keep their house really clean and everything, and the guys are the ones who earn the money. It's kind of that kind of traditional way of doing things. With what Open Blue's been doing, it became the community centre that somehow isn't on the traveller site. They just haven't got an actual building to be the community centre. They haven't got a place to do the kids' parties. You know, they haven't got a place to organise so-and-so's 60th birthday or whatever it might be. That isn't there, but the bus would turn up each week, and now in the car park they're turning up. But it is missing that. So, although we're still running the after-school club, it's not as it was, because it used to be a place where the kids would get really excited by doing cooking, signing up for the cooking in the kitchen at the back, and also things like using the computers, learning about that, and a lot of form filling in as well. Chiquita's often asked to be the person who fills out the what's it called on the passport form, when you have to sort of say, yeah, I've known this child for 5 years, yes. And that's what she's being able to do and help with. And there's also the link with all the health visitor things, because they will of course be going into that community anyway, but when the bus was there, then that was a place to help with doing the in doing all the day, the sort of regular baby weighing and checks, as well as immunisations and things like that. So I think also the interesting bit that Chiquita was saying is, for Andy and herself, it was coming to a people of faith, because the travellers have a real good understanding of their own traditional faith in God. They maybe wouldn't describe it in all the same jargon and words as we would, but for them there's been more recently linking in with the Travellers Church in Swindon and nationally as well. So there's stories there which, you know, it's very different to how we kind of do church and see things, but there's some really good stories there of for Chiquita saying that, you know, she's going to be with other Christians as well, although, you know, on some things they maybe wouldn't talk about Jesus the same and things, but yeah, it is kind of good. And also I think Chiquita sees her role as kind of reconciliation as well, because of the way that travellers set themselves apart, I guess, and they keep themselves separate, and so then there's that challenge there, but then in Christ you know, we are all one. And I found a good link Bible link, Ephesians 2:17. Jesus came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who are near. For through Jesus, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. And so for that group at Thingley, it's coming to people who understand faith. And of course, not all the travellers are of you might say they know Jesus or whatever, but that is quite different, I think, to some of the other communities. And then just go on to talk about the club that I know well when it's the toddler group session, because I go with Lisa at the moment on Thursdays. So Buckley Barracks, there's an area which Roy and Linda used to live at Wellington Place, when it was the... I guess that would be when it was the RAF still? Yeah, whereas now it's Army now, 9th Supply Regiment. So got the Army trucks up there. And the men and women who serve with 9th Supply always I double take when I sort of see the people come in occasionally with uniform. Just double take. But they've now got a purpose-built community centre. Way back, the bus rocked up on Wellington Place because we were asked to come by the community worker there. And then eventually the Army or the MOD or whoever it was put the funding in to convert two houses, sort of semi-D, convert it into community centre. And so, of course, we can continue meeting there, although we've not got the bus. And the weird thing is, because for a long time the bus was parked in the hangar next door to the community centre. So it's taking me a little bit of time just because you can't. It's sort of like hidden in the hangar, it was hidden in the hangar. So I'm still adjusting to that. Going, oh yeah, of course the bus isn't there. Because the lady here, Katie, who runs the after school club, she used to sometimes go, oh, I'll just pop on the bus and get those spare scissors or glue or whatever, because she does fantastic crafty stuff. She'd use the bus as a resource because it would have all the extra spare craft stuff. And, of course, that's now been all cleared out and put into the spare room at the actual community centre. I'm still adjusting to the bus not being there. But the club is still running. There's some funding's coming through. And that's Lisa there making something fantastic for autumn. Spiky leaves. Yeah. Katie's brilliant doing all of that. And what happens when Lisa and I head off about 2 o'clock, and then by about 3, kids from the nearby school who are also living in Wellington Place, so it's the Army family's children, come along for an after-school club. And Katie was telling me it's about 20 people at the moment come, and it's all, for some of them, the kids just take themselves there. For others, the parents will come along too, or particularly at the end, because they'll have made something during the session and then they'll be sharing out that snack that they've made at the end. And it sounds like kind of like happy families, because then it's, and some of the girls, they love doing a show at the moment. You're thinking, oh no, I'm glad I'm not there, because it's the sort of thing where some of the girls are into dance and they'll sort of show off something. So she's just painted, this is talking to her last week, she's painted this fantastic picture of like lovely happy families of this place, which is then open. The thing that Katie does that's most important this time of year is get in there early, sweep the floor, and Mum helps too, clear things through, make sure that the health visitor room is all open. Of course, you'll know about doing all this because Sarah was a worker there a few years back. And make sure the heaters are switched on. I know, and checking that the loo rolls are there and kind of thing. So she does a brilliant job in making the place welcoming. Andy always used to say, you've got to have the lights on. We haven't done that today, but if you're welcoming the community in, even if it's a sunny day, you've got to have the lights on. I think it's that, the place is open, the doors are open, come on in, that welcoming feel. And so the place gets full up of all sorts of families who come along. Sometimes it's very busy with a queue for the health visitor. Other times it's quiet, like it happened to be last week. It was just me and Lisa last week. But it's just brilliant what's happening there. It's really good. Now, I've got one last quick clip from Andy, which is worth hearing because it's all about food. So, yeah, if you can do that, would be great.
You need to put your phone on. It goes back to when we first started the bus. We said, OK, we're going to have internet on the bus. and you know, we think, and the electronic play, you know, PlayStation, the electronic games, and all that sort of thing. But what was the big surprise was when we had a kitchen, and we just thought the kitchen will do tea and coffee, hot chocolate, or something like that, and you know, we'll give away some biscuits or whatever. And as we started Jamie's you know, campaign about school meals and healthy eating started. And so we quickly changed from biscuits to fruit, fruit and veg, which was great in itself because it, in some ways it's easier, and also we were a healthy eating bus. But we also then discovered, or we then said, oh, we could actually do a little bit of cooking, like make some shortbread or some, you know, make something that the kids could do in our bus kitchen, which is ideal because the mud, the wheel arches meant that the kids could stand up on the wheel arch, so the kitchen was at their perfect height. And the whole cookery thing took off. There was, you know, there was never a queue weeks long for the computers, but the rota as to who was doing cooking could be 2 or 3 weeks, organised 2 or 3 weeks in advance in some communities because the kids wanted to do it so much. And it really took off, and food is a major thing. Food is, it's interesting, isn't it, really, because we've recently read that book, Take This Bread, I think, which is all about community and food and centering everything around food. It's, Take This Bread, obviously, the breaking of bread and the communion, Jesus' Last Supper, and he centres his whole story of sacrifice around, you know, two elements, really. And people still gather to do that. And then you find, that's genius, isn't it, obviously, because, you know, everybody centres around food. So everybody gets very excited about cooking food, everybody gets to eat some on the bus, and, you know, it becomes one of those dynamic things that you just can't do anywhere else, somehow, unless your mum allows you to use the kitchen, but it's a bit more dangerous because it's more adult and all that sort of thing. So yeah, and then the one-pot cooking course is sort of, it develops people's community as well. So they come on the course, and of course they have to chat to each other as they're cooking, and they learn together, and so it sort of rolls on, you know.
You see, I was trying not to do the bus cliches. It just rolls along. Yes, Andy. Yeah. So yeah, that's just amazing, really. That the food was, and doing cooking with the kids is just really something that's really taken off. And now it's become the one pot cookery course, which is gradually being. You know, it's had various funding happening, hasn't it, Wendy? And
we're starting a new course
week after next. Okay. Yeah, so that's happening as well, which is great. And it's something which I think I'd just pass back to you, all of you, of how can you take food to your front line? And that isn't necessarily baked cakes, because some of it's the being a healthy eating bus, as Andy put it. It's, you know, sometimes it might be talking about healthy things or having a joke with somebody about well, I don't know, food, or maybe it is just baking cakes. But that's over to you, whatever's appropriate for your front line. I think Andy described it as maybe it's taking beer to his front line. Might be my son, Andy. So yeah, that's just over to you. Just the one beer. Oh, yeah, of course. Okay, over to you.
Two words to take away with you: food, community. Okay? Mm-hmm. In the name of Jesus, that's what makes the difference. Just to tell you of where we are with the bus, how much have we got in the bank towards the new bus?
Just under 30,000.
Just under 30,000 sounds a lot of money. Do you know anybody who's got the other 90,000? Yes, you do. Yeah? Let's ask him about where that's going to come from. Father, as we listen to Donna talking and we think about all the opportunities that have come for the bus, we would like you to either tell us that the bus is finished and it's not for this time, or we would like you to send us the other money that we need. Lord, we know that we can go with 70,000 or 80,000, but 120 would be better. 30,000 seems like a lot of money to have in the bank, and if you can provide 30,000, you can certainly provide the rest. So, Father, stir our hearts to pray in faith that you will send the money in. Amen.
Amen.
Next week, it's Dawn and Sarah telling us about Thailand.
give those to